For the last section of our program this hour, we're going to hear from Ronnie Chang. He is a correspondent on the satirical news program The Daily Show. He was in the summer's movie hit Crazy Rich Asians, based on the book by Kevin Kwan. Chang also recently co-wrote a sitcom for Comedy Central titled Ronnie Chang, International Student. In between all of his projects, he travels performing his stand-up comedy, and in August he performed in Fort Wayne. Before he went on stage, WBOI's Araceli Gomez-Aldana sat down with Chang to talk about his latest projects and comedy beginnings.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for talking to me. Thanks for talking to me in a public setting. So now this sounds like a field report. It sounds like where it's like all this background noise, and it seems like we engineered it. Like we had a sound engineer this like cool hip setting that we're both casually talking, but really it's just because I needed to eat and eat at the same time so I can get two things done at once, because I have very little respect for what you do. So thanks so much. Mm-hmm.
So your byline on Twitter says, in NYC,
yep,
via Australia, Malaysia, Singapore. Do you want to explain to the listeners what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I live in New York right now. Before that, I was living in Australia. Before that, I was living in Singapore. And then before that, I was living in Malaysia. So
it's like the worst case scenario when people ask, where are you really from?
When I explain it, they usually get it, yeah. So it's not... But what one thing Americans don't seem to be able to understand is, like, your ethnicity versus your nationality. Like, if you say you're Chinese, from Malaysia, Chinese Malaysian, they just cannot understand how you could, like, not be... You know, like, it's too many things. But it's really, really simple. It's like, my race is Chinese, and then my nationality is Malaysian. So it's just like being Chinese-American, but instead of American, I'm from Malaysia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the perfect way to explain that.
Right, but people, I mean, man. Yeah, the idea of a Chinese diaspora, or whatever diaspora, right? But let's, in this example, it's Chinese diaspora going to Malaysia. Like, I guess I'm third generation, Chinese-Malaysian. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for people who don't know, how would you explain your role or what you do for The Daily Show?
I guess I do like studio pieces for a daily show, and then I do field pieces for a daily show. That's what I do, essentially. We make fun of, I guess, the news and politics. That's really what we do, yeah.
Yeah, is it hard to stay on top of the news cycle?
Quite honestly, some of this stuff just creates itself, right? Like, is it hard to stay on top? I mean, unfortunately, no, right? It just gets blasted to us now, whether we want to know about it or not. Like, I know all this shit about the government that I really shouldn't know. I'm actually quite irritated that I know the details of this mad, like, the Mueller investigation, the Paul Manafort case. Like, why do I know the details of this ish? Is it hard to follow, keep up? No, but it is exhausting. So in this day and age, we just know it whether we want to know it or not. And also, I mean, obviously, part of my job is I am supposed to know it. So maybe I live in my own bubble where I know all this stuff. It gets pushed to me. Maybe there's a lot of Americans who blissfully don't know this stuff, and I mean, good for them.
That's true. Yeah. That's definitely true. So how did we get here?
Sure. I started doing stand-up comedy my final year of law school in 2009, and I thought it was something I could do, so I wanted to give it a try. And I did this campus comedy competition, and I won it, and then I just kept doing it after that. Yeah.
Did people just tell you you're like really funny, you should do stand-up?
No, everyone said don't do it. They actually, my friends, I told them I was going to do it. They're like, don't do it. You'll be terrible. Do not do it. They actually were like, don't do this. And I went to do it anyway because, I don't know. It's just, yeah. It's, I don't know. Just, I thought it was something I could do.
Definitely. Did you ever think you were going to co-write a show?
It was a great experience. Like, it was a great learning experience. And it was a great experience to just do it. It was fun. It was a lot of work. It was just me and this other guy writing at Declan Fay with some help from Greg Larson. And we wrote the whole, all seven episodes. And I feel like I really put a lot of good ideas into it. And really happy with the outcome. And I think we got better the more we did it. And we were doing it from scratch. I've never written anything like that before. So I had to learn on the fly. It was like doing a master's in screenwriting. And what better way than to learn on the job, really, and get to see it in action.
Do you want to explain what it's about?
Oh, yeah, it's about... It's a sitcom about international students studying in Australian universities. So I felt like it was a story that I could tell, that no one else could tell, or at least no one else has told yet. I wanted to do a story that I felt I would be irreplaceable in. Like, they couldn't replace me with, like, someone better looking, because it was, like, my story. So it was also, you want to tell stories that only you can tell, because that makes them unique. And you want, and if it's your story, there's authenticity in it. And I believe that in storytelling, authenticity resonates. And so the idea was to get it as authentic as possible to a vibe that I was going for. It's hard to explain, but the cliff notes is trying to get the authentic, like, heart of the story in there. And I think we did it really well. And I also feel like this international student thing is a real interesting, like, people from Asia have been going to Western countries for college for generations now. You know, Canada, America, the UK, Australia. They've been going, like, our parents and my parents went, and then they went back to Asia, and then they send their children. It's a generational thing. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. You know, I feel like Asian people from Asia first interact with Westerners as peers in college, and vice versa. Like, Westerners interact with Asian people from Asia for the first time in college, mostly. So it's this interesting intersection point that no one has really kind of explored or talked about or documented, as far as I can tell. So it's just my attempt to kind of tell that story, yeah.
Can you talk about your character in Crazy Rich Asians?
Yeah, I play Edison Cheng, who is very materialistic, self-obsessed, status-obsessed cousin of the main character, Nick Young. Edison is technically the next in line to inherit the whole thing. He's also like this investment banker from Hong Kong, very rich family, and just a huge dish, just a gap, huge, yeah, that's basically it.
I don't want to offend you, but you play the character very well.
No, thank you.
Like, very convincing.
Yeah, I can do that very easily.
Uh-huh. My question when I was watching this, I said, if I had to ask you anything, do you identify with this, like, villain character that, you know, like, do you identify more with the villains than with the good people?
That's an interesting question. I think I definitely play the villain a lot easier. I mean, I definitely don't play the goody two-shoes very well. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, I know that world. I came from law school, like, a bunch of type A personalities. Like, all my friends were basically like this, or at least we rolled in these circles, you know. Not my friends specifically, but we know everyone who was like that, who was still like that. So it's very easy for me to tap into that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where the character goes, because that was really good. Thanks. And I just want to end with, you know, we're kind of seeing a little bit of a shift, I think, with regards to mainstream media, because we saw Black Panther. Mm-hmm. You know, this year we saw Disney's Coco, which is like, you know, Mexican culture and Crazy Rich Asians. What is your take on it? Are we finally getting to this point where there could be some, not only different people in the main lead, but also just like the stories of the people, the culture, like Singapore, that was a cultural thing?
Yeah, I guess the proof is in the projects, right? So that is an interesting trend. I think it's more like because of the changing age demographic, like the people who are now coming into their own creatively and the executive decision makers are all younger people who grew up with these cultures. And so they are less like afraid of trying to market these stories because they identify with these stories, even if they're not from that race, because they grew up with people like this. Like, our demographic is changing, you know, younger people are more hip to it. This is kind of the cynical view, because what I'm basically saying is that it's not so much shift in decision making, it's more shift in demographics that's influencing the decision making, but whatever, right? Like, I'll take it. And also, I feel like there's also like people running out of stories to tell, I guess, and these are sources of interesting stories, you know, these different cultures in America, outside America, like it's fresh, right? It feels fresh. Just watching it, it just feels fresh. So there's that factor as well. Yeah. So multifactorial, as is anything in this world. But I think that for me, that's really what it is, you know. And also, see, my whole thing is like, it's not diversity for the sake of diversity. Like, I feel like that doesn't help anybody. Genuine, good products coming out that have diversity in them, that's when the needle shifts, I feel. You know, if you come out and out with a social justice angle, it doesn't hit. If you have a good story, movie, a good product, people get behind it, and then it shifts the, you know, it moves the culture, I think. That's my stance on it.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for answering all my questions.
Araceli, thank you for bringing us that two-way with the hilarious Ronnie Chang. And that's not all you'll be sharing with our listeners this hour.
Thanks, Ben. It was fun. And I also have some news. I'm actually leaving WBOI, and I will be starting a new position with Side Effects Public Media, housed in Indianapolis at WFYI. I'm going to be focusing on health news, and I'll be doing some stories about health statewide and doing some other multimedia things. I'm really excited. I am a little sad because, of course, I'm leaving WBOI and the team here. They will be greatly missed, and I will also miss the Fort Wayne community.
I do want to thank you for being a part of our news team, Araceli, and wish you the best. And, of course, I'm not alone.
Hey, pal. It's Zach, and congratulations on making the next move in your career. You are so, so perfect for this job. Working with you over the last year has been such a wonderful experience. You brought such a new energy and such interesting ideas to the table here at 89.1 WBOI that I certainly wouldn't have come up with myself. And I absolutely loved combining our strengths to make this newsroom as efficient and effective as it could possibly be. I'm not only proud to call you a colleague, but I'm also even more proud to call you a friend, and I'm looking forward to playing any Side Effects content you have whenever it makes its way to my desk for Morning Edition. Thanks for your hard work, and good luck.
Julia here. Here's a fun fact, Araceli. All those times I publicly deemed you WBOI's news-driven, arts-forward, music-loving, community-focused, and more reporter, I privately celebrated how those virtues became you and what you made of them. Now, I know you'll continue to do well in this world, and I wish you brightest of blessings, safest of travels, and happiest of trails along your journey.
Hi, Araceli. This is Katie, and I just wanted to say how inspired I was when I was working with you. It was great to see you reaching out to people in our community who we had never met before and whose voices are seldom heard in the media landscape. You added so much to our news coverage and our newsroom here at the station. And I'm so thrilled for you and your future at Side Effects Media. And it's kind of ironic since you cleaned the studio all the time because you were afraid of germs. So the studio was the cleanest it's ever been because of you. Thank you.
Hi, Araceli. It's Rebecca. I just want to tell you what an absolute privilege and pleasure it was to work with you the last 8 months you were here at WBOI, my first 8 months here. You have been a wonderful example of professionalism and grace, and I cannot wait to see where you end up in your career. I'm so excited for you as you embark on this new journey with Side Effects. Look forward to hearing your work, and I'm sure that you will find a favorite donut shop down there in Indianapolis. Good luck.
Wow. Thank you, Ben, for putting that together. And I really am going to miss everyone. And thank you, everyone, for the kind words. And definitely we'll stay in touch.
The first time we did one of these monthly roundups, you co-hosted with me. Care to take us out?
Yeah, sure. This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. The stories you heard this hour can be found online at WBOI.org. Our theme music is by Mark Waldick. Folk Tales is next. Have a wonderful night.